Good morning, Happy Sabbath. Is everybody all right this morning? Let us all bow our heads for a short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for this day, and we want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you decide to spend time with us personally today. But Father, I come before you now, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will be upon me. I pray the hearts and the minds of those who will hear me today will be open to the things I'm about to say. May they not see me, but see you speaking through me. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. The title of my sermon today is Remember Lot's Wife. I'm going to say it again. Remember Lot's Wife. I want everybody to turn with me in Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 26. I want us to take a look at something very interesting. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse 26. When you have it, say amen, so I know you're there. All right. I'm going to start at verse 26. Once again, that's Luke 17. And we're going to start at verse 26. Now listen very carefully to what Jesus says. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Now, I need everybody to follow me for a second. Jesus is talking about in the future, in our day, when he's going to come back. And he's talking about, remember in Noah's day, the flood came. And remember in Lot's day, the fire fell. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife didn't die in the flood. And if I'm correct, she wasn't even in Sodom when the fire came down. As a matter of fact, what was her name? Her name is never even given. So Jesus is talking about the last days. He goes through all this dramatic stuff. And he has everybody on the edge of their seat. And then he says, oh yeah, yeah, remember that lady. But Jesus, what lady are you talking about? So how does this nameless lady relate to you and me today? Why did Jesus see it as something being so important that he had to say, remember this woman who the Bible never even mentions by name? That's very interesting. Now, with that being said, let's go back to Genesis chapter 19 and take a look at what happened. Genesis chapter 19. And we're going to start at verse 15. That's Genesis 19. And we're going to start at verse 15. Once again, let me know when you have it. That's Genesis chapter 19, and we are going to start at verse 15. Okay, is everybody there? All right, now listen to this very carefully. Verse 15 says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened, saying, arise, take your wife, take your two girls that are here with you, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, And the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, is talking about the angels, and upon the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set them on the outside of the city. And it came to pass, verse 17, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for your life. Look not behind you, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. Now jump over to verse 24. Just go down to verse 23. And listen what it says. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities and all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities that grew upon the ground. Now here it is, verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Wow. Look at this. This is all she did. The Bible says all she did was this right here. One little small thing. She slightly turned her neck. And the Bible says she got instant death penalty. Instant death penalty. For the smallest thing. Just on the head. Back to the side. Now you know, Jesus told me to remember this lady, but when I look at this scripture, it makes me question God's justice. Because, follow me for a second. Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron said, let my people go, says the Lord Jehovah. Pharaoh said, I don't know Jehovah. I don't care who he is. And let him know, I'm not going to let his people go. You know, that's real funny, because right after he said that, I don't remember Pharaoh getting instant death penalty. I mean, am I right, church? Correct me if I'm wrong. Jezebel. That was a bad girl there. Killed 400 prophets. It's funny. If memory serves me correct, she didn't get the death penalty. And she killed 400 of God's prophets. Herod. All those babies. All those kids. Murdered. Because he wanted to keep his throne. But you know, that's funny, Lord, because he did that and he didn't get the instant death penalty. What about the Pharisees, the Sadducees that put Jesus on the cross? Your own son, tortured, murdered, beat down. They didn't get instant death penalty. What about Lucifer in heaven? God, I'm going to take your throne. Tried to dethrone God. It's funny. Even he, still alive today, making our lives hard, amen? And he didn't get instant death penalty. All these things other people did in the Bible, and you're telling me the one lady that just slightly turned her neck, you give her the death penalty? I mean, are y'all following me here? Y'all seeing where I'm going? Why did Jesus want me to remember this? And then now that we've looked at it, it's almost like we have more questions than answers, right? So, as I go on, there are two things that I want us to take a look at. The first thing is, why did Jesus really tell us as Christians today to remember Lot's wife? Question number one. And question number two, why did he deal with her so harshly? But just the slightest thing. Why did he treat this woman like this? It seems so unfair that he would give her the death penalty instantly for something so small. Now, in order to figure this out, we have to go back and take a look at what God commanded them to do. Now, in Genesis, we're still in Genesis 19. Let's look at verse 17. Let's take a look at exactly what God had said. Now, is everybody with me? Let's look at verse 17. Is everybody there? Now, listen to the command. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, here we go, escape for your life. Okay, so what's the first thing he said? What's the first part of the command? Escape for your life. So now, while you are escaping for your life out of the city, don't look behind you. There's two things. All right. So what do you have to do? First thing is to escape from the city. Second thing is don't look behind you. And then number three, it says neither stay in the plain. So while you are escaping and not looking behind you, when you get to the plain, do not stay in the plain. And then look at the last part of the verse. And it says, escape to the mountain. So while you are escaping from the city and not looking behind you and not staying in the plain, God says, I want you to go in the direction of the mountain. And then it says, lest thou be consumed. Let me ask everybody a question. And before I say that, I need us to see something. This command is kind of like the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day. Not only supposed to remember it, you got to keep it holy. And now you keep it holy, you don't work. So it's like a command that has other smaller commands within it. It's like covet, the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Well, what am I not supposed to covet? Neighbor's wife, neighbor's goods, and etc. You can covet your neighbor's goods and then covet his wife. So it's a command, but it has smaller, intricate commands within it. Now, let me ask you a question. What didn't she do? Which part of the command did she not do? She what? She looked back. But wait a minute. But wasn't she escaping? She left the city, right? Did she stay in the plane? No. No, she didn't stay in the plane. Was she going towards the mountain? I mean, she was following her husband, right? Or did she obey or didn't obey? Y'all look confused. Did she obey or she didn't obey? Some. You know what the Bible calls this? Partial obedience. Now let me ask you a question. The scripture said, if you don't do these, you're going to be what? Consumed. Did she have to break all the commandments to be consumed, or did she have to just break one? Ooh, she just had to break one. Now, here's the thing. You know the warning for us Christians in the last days? Y'all know how we are. We want to obey some things, but we don't want to obey other things. Oh, God, I'll do that. There's no problem doing that. But, Lord, I ain't going to do that. No, don't ask me to do nothing like that. I got to change too much. Want to obey some things, but we don't want to obey everything. The church of Laodicea, the church in the last days, are the churches today. Christians today, we got everything we can need. Our lives are so easy. But God said, y'all poor, y'all naked, you're miserable, and you're blind. You don't have to turn there, but I know everybody knows the scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. God gave us a past view of partial obedience. But then God says, okay, you know what? I want y'all to see something in the future. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, in the future, Christians are going to come up to the judgment. And they're going to say, Lord, Jesus, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? We witnessed in your name. And the Bible says, Jesus says, depart from me, ye who work iniquity. I never knew you. Well, wait a minute. Jesus, you must be confused. Because see, I was in church every week. See, I did my Bible lesson every week. I went out and did everything I was supposed to do all the time. But Jesus said, at the same time you were claiming to be a Christian, you were doing things you had no business doing. What do we call that? What did Lot's wife do? It's called partial obedience. Wanting to do some things, but not doing enough. Jesus said, y'all want me to let y'all in heaven, but y'all putting a knife in my back at the same time? Jesus says, no. It doesn't work like that. And see, folks, I'm going to explain something. Sometimes in the Bible, you see the word sin, and then you see the word iniquity. You know the difference between the two is? Iniquity is a sin that you know you're doing, and you know is wrong, but you still do it. That's why in that scripture, when it says the Christians come up, he says, depart from me, ye who work iniquity, which means Christians who are still claiming to be of the Lord, but they still do things that are not of the Lord. And see, you know the difference between when a person prays for forgiveness of sins and iniquities? When you pray for forgiveness of a sin, the Bible says you confess that sin and then you forsake it, right? Amen? Because when you're in a relationship, if you're hurting somebody, you have to be genuine about being sorry about it, right? But when a person asks for forgiveness for iniquity, usually people say, Lord, forgive me of this iniquity. But they keep doing it, and 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 they never overcome it, and they keep doing it. That's why the Bible says we got to be careful. It's the iniquities that get us. And then, if you say, okay, well, you know, Terry, you still kind of look iffy on the partial obedience. Is it really that bad? Let me ask everybody a question. It's estimated about how many people left Egypt when Moses led them out of Egypt. Has anybody ever heard the number of people that they estimated? About a million. That's about a million folks. And from what I read, you know, they always didn't count the women and the children. That was usually the men. So you had to assume over half the men were probably married and had children. So I've heard anywhere from a million and a half. That's a lot of people. Now let me ask you a question. How many of the original that left actually made it into the promised land? Turn with me to Numbers. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. And we're going to look at verse 10 through 13. Y'all think it's only two people? You think it was more? That number too small? I see we have some people look confident, some people don't. Is everybody at Numbers chapter 32? And we're going to look at verse 10. When you have it, say amen. All right, listen to this. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and to Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed me. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. That's funny. People say it doesn't matter. You can do some things, you can't do other things. But that, you know, I never knew that when I studied this. Only two people actually made it from Egypt to Canaan. Let me help everybody out. Let me break it down in today's terms. Egypt represents the world. God calls us out of the world. Before they got to the Red Sea, the Bible says a pillar of fire came down to protect them from the Egyptians. The pillar of fire represents the Holy Spirit coming into your life. God calls you out of the world. He brings the Holy Spirit into your life. Then it says after the pillar of fire protected them, it said they went through the Red Sea. The Red Sea represents us jumping in the baptismal pool and becoming baptized. Once they went through the Red Sea, the Bible says then they came to Mount Sinai, where they receive the law. Once you decide to leave the world and the Holy Spirit comes into your life and then you get baptized, then you receive what we call the word. The Bible says God gave them the law. Now, in your Christian life, we all claim to be Christians as far as I know in here. I'm not going to put everybody in a group. I don't know. We all say we receive the Holy Spirit. We've all been baptized. We all have the Bible. But the question is, how many of us will actually make it to the promised land? Because once they receive the word, what does Canaan represent? Heaven. God is saying, if you don't believe me, go back and look at Israel. Look at their life. Their life will tell you exactly what's going to happen in your life. But the decision is completely up to you. So you know what the first thing God, what Jesus is saying? When he said, remember Lot's wife, he said, remember, she didn't follow me whole. One of the biggest problems of the church, especially when you read about the last days in Revelation, is they don't do everything that I ask. Is the first question answered? Everybody clear as crystal? First thing is, we have to wholly follow God. And number two, why did God treat this lady so harshly? Yeah. You know, sometimes you read stuff in the Bible and you're like, man, God must have been having a bad day. I mean, somebody must have got on his bad side. I mean, it's just some days God was like, you got mercy for 1,000 years and your kids and your grandkids. And some people, you gone in a second. So the next thing that Jesus wants us to take a look at is, okay, you know, remember now, not only did I take her out, I did it quick. So with that being said, go back to Genesis 19. And let's take a look at something else interesting. And we're going to start at verse 15. When you have it, say amen again. I don't want to leave anybody behind. Now, at verse 15, once again, don't surface read. Really, really look at what it's saying. Verse 15 says, and when the morning arose, this is the day when the city is pretty much the city's about to be destroyed. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. The first thing you learn about Lot, but not only Lot was his wife, but God had to give him a little push. Hey, y'all do remember the city is about to be destroyed today. The forecast is raining fire. But the Bible says the angels had to nudge you. But the angels had to nudge you. Think about it. What does that say about her mindset? And then verse 16. And while he lingered. Wow. Lot is lingering. But the man is, the woman usually is too. And it said, the men, talking about the angels, had to take Lot by the hand. Not only did they had to nudge him, but they had to take him by the hand. And it said they had to take the hand of his wife and his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto them and brought them forth and set them out of the city. So even when they were being nudged, they still tried to hang around the house. Literally, the Bible says the two angels that went down there with the Lord had to literally take Lot and his wife by the hand and drag them to the outside of the city when God told them the city was about to be destroyed. Does everybody get where I'm going with this? Can you see the mindset that they were in? What logic is this? Why would you want to stay in a place that's about to go up in flames? Remember Lot's wife. It's something here that Jesus wants us to see. Even when they knew. You know, we go where we want to go. And we hang around where we want to hang around. Amen? People don't have to push you to go somewhere you want to go. And people don't have to make you stay somewhere that you really want to stay. And see, folks, it's kind of like us today. The church today. You know, we know the end is coming. But I mean, we linger to do the Lord's work. We don't hasten to do the Lord's work. Coming to church is number one priority, but actually getting involved in stuff is your last priority. It's almost the hardest thing in the world to do to get involved in any type of ministry. You know, I like when people come here and I can witness to them, but when I get out the door, like, I kind of want to take a break from church. I want to relax from church. I don't want to be bothered with all that. And see, the funny thing is, if you go back to verse 14, it says, "And when Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-laws, which married daughters, and said, Up, you get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You see, it's funny. When you're not serious about God, why should other people take you seriously about God? And folks, I speak from experience. I don't stand up here and claim to be perfect from nobody. When you're not living right, and you try to witness to people, sometimes people throw back up in your face. What you do? You know that's the first reaction, right? Even when they know what you're telling them is right, the first thing they have to do is feel better. They try to analyze everything they know you're doing wrong, and then they got to let you know. So you feel bad, and everybody feel bad, and don't nobody say nothing. But notice it says Lot's own family. It's like, oh, you serious today now? Oh, you Christian today now? Oh, really? Fire's going to come down from the sky today? Right, Dad. Okay. So because he wasn't serious, his own family didn't even take him serious. And guess what, folks? Because of his slackness and Lot's wife's slackness, what happened to the family? Never think that it's not important. The saying is true. Even if you never witness to somebody, your life is the only Bible that some people may ever read in their entire lifetime. When you get to heaven, there will be people who will come up to you who you never met, but they saw something you did, or they were impressed by something that you did, and they're there for the very reason because they watched you and you never said a word to them. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, you have to turn there, it says, "Where your heart is where your treasure is." Folks, the real reason why God treated Lot's wife so harshly is because she was following the Lord, but her heart was still in the world. Did y'all catch that? She's with God. She's in the church, but her eyes outside the window. Looking at everybody else and what's going on out there. Matthew 15, verses 7 and 8 says, God says, "I've always had this problem with people in the Old Testament, and I've always had this problem with my church in the New Testament. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You can come to church. You can praise the Lord. You can come to the Bible studies. You can do everything. You can get involved. Oh, you know you can play church like everything else, right? You know, just because you sit in church don't necessarily mean that you are a Christian. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a serious Christian. Do you know how people know whether you're a serious Christian or not? Nobody cares what you say, but everybody believes what you do. Because let me ask you a question. How does a Christian witness if you never see them act like the God that they're witnessing about? How do you do that? Anybody got an answer to that? I'm a personal ministry's leader. Like I said, I know from experience, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to help Christians remember. You got to act like Christians. I'm not kidding. That's one of the hardest things. Talk to a pastor. You know the hardest thing for a pastor to do sometimes? Get church folk that like church folk. That's one of the hardest things in the world. You know what problem God has? Trying to get his people to act like his people. Even though Lot's wife slightly turned her neck, it indicated where her heart really was, and it let God know where she really wanted to be. So you know what God said? "Since you want to be with them so bad, I'll let you share the same fate that they shared." And when she turned back, the Bible says she was instantly turned into a pillar of salt. Now in closing, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not this world, neither the things that are in this world. And Romans 1:32 says, not only are the people who act like they're in the world are worthy of death, but even the people who don't do the things that they do, but guess what? They just like watching others break God's law and act like non-Christians. You don't necessarily have to be doing what everybody else is doing. You just got to like what they're doing. I'm going to close on these last two statements. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says, everybody who has ever lived will be lost for two reasons. These are the two reasons. Either you chose to believe a lie, or you love something else more than God. You give me any two Bible characters, and you can apply that principle to their life. If you do not think I'm telling the truth, let's take a look at the story of the first two people who failed, Adam and Eve. Eve was lost because which one? She chose to believe a lie, or she loved something else more than God? She believed the lie of the snake. Why did Adam fall? Because he loved that woman more than he loved God. And just like Lot's wife, he was willing to share her fate and go down with her. What about Judas? Did Judas choose to believe a lie, or did he love something more than Jesus? He loved money more than he loved Jesus. In Jesus' ministry, guess what? People turned down Jesus for either one or two reasons. Either because they didn't believe he was the Son of God, or because they loved something else more than Jesus. The rich young ruler. Jesus, I got it together. I want to follow you. Jesus said, yeah, you keep the commandments. Yeah, you're doing what's right, but there's something that you really like more than me. So if you want me to save you and you won't follow me, you have to get rid of it. What does the Bible say that boy did? So he put his head down and he walked off. So my question to you today is, where is your heart? Is it truly with the Lord and His work? Or do we enjoy the things of the world more than we do God? In three words, when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, it's so much in those words that we don't even realize. Amen? So once again, I ask you, remember Lot's wife and take a look inside your heart and ask yourself, where do I stand today? Amen?